Stuck in Carson Show on the Beat 94.5.
This is the Kid Carson Show on the Beat 94.5.
Hey, morning, 8:53. Kid Carson, Jasmina, Mandy, and Andrew the intern. The paper today might be an interesting article to read. We won't have time to discuss it on the show this morning, but if you open up the Globe and Mail on page A3, it talks about the advancements of artificial intelligence. And the quote under the picture says, in 50 to 100 years, anything people can do, computers will do better.
Oh my gosh.
So in the future, you won't have to worry about raising your own children.
Wow.
You'll have robots doing it for you. Don't worry.
And probably much better than you can.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome.
True.
The author of Super Baby is on the line right now. We're going to pick up the phone here. Jasmina, again, flipping through the book one more time before we chat with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Jasmina muttering under her breath, oh, I'm such a bad mom. I'm not doing anything in this book. So, Jasmina, coming to the realization as we pick up the phone with Dr. Jen Berman that you will not have a super baby.
But, I know.
Perhaps a mediocre baby or just an average baby.
Just not super.
Not super. In fact, Jen might not even want to talk to you, to be quite honest. I guess the point is, Jen, that she's reading the book now.
Yes.
It's probably too late.
A little too late.
Don't worry. I still believe that she will do a better job than a robot.
Okay,
I'm sure of it.
We're having Jen on the show again for the second time. We got so much great reaction. You obviously know you're good at what you do. I mean, you were on Oprah a bunch of times. You seem to be like the go-to expert when it comes to parenting.
Oh, thank you.
So much great feedback when you had you on the show last time. The big controversy, of course, was your strong belief that no child should watch TV under the age of 3.
Yes, I know. It doesn't make me the most popular parenting expert out there, but I must speak the truth. And also, as I mentioned to you before, I have twins. They're 4 years old, and I practice what I preach, and my kids did not watch any TV until they were about 3 and a half. So if I can do it, other parents can do it as well. I think it's much more difficult. Once you open that door to television, it's far more difficult to regulate it than it is if you just don't open the door during those first 3 years. You don't rely on it. It's way harder when your kids are begging for TV.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I remember last time we had you on, you were talking about all the connections of various disorders and whatnot that can stem from, and you said you've seen the research yourself.
Absolutely.
I can imagine a mom with twins. You're not really in a rush to, like, remove television out of the picture when you've got twins and
yeah,
you've got no
right.
time.
Like, that's a help.
Yeah,
believe me. I mean, you know, we have introduced it, as I mentioned, when they were 3 and a half. And, you know, what we do in our house is they only watch television once a week on Sundays. They watch about 40 to max, like 60 minutes. They each get to pick two shows from DVDs that we've selected, so they're not watching commercials, which I think are particularly detrimental to kids and get them really focused on materialism and gimme gimme and I want and all that sort of stuff. Not to mention that we know the kids who watch commercials tend to ask for more sugary cereals, more poor nutrition, that foods that are not nutrition dense.
It's amazing.
So it really impacts kids on so many levels. And I mentioned before when I'm on, even just when children watch television, most parents don't realize there's a study that came out from the American Academy of Pediatrics that found that when kids watch television, it reduces their metabolic rate 12 to 16%.
Wow.
So if your child were sitting and watching a sunset versus sitting and watching the television, their metabolic rate is 12% slower watching television. And for overweight kids, it's actually 16%.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Just the effect on the I mean, there's so much talk now about the connection between mind and body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, and you are someone who has, you know, slaved over all this research and then put it in this book. So if you missed when we had Dr. Jen Berman on the show a couple months ago, pick up the book, Super Baby. I'm telling you right now, there is a lot of, I mean, you put a lot of work into this. This isn't
I was actually, you know, I do pretty much all my writing while my kids are asleep. So I put my kids to sleep and I was up until 4 o'clock in the morning and then up at 7 a.m. for months and months on end. So my lack of sleep is a gift to parents. And I really, you know, when I wrote this book, as I learn things, I'm an obsessive researcher. I just find research fascinating. And I found that I changed a lot of the things that I was doing as a parent as I read this, as I did the research and was reading all this.
Mm-hmm. And the book's great, called Super Baby, 12 Ways to Give Your Child a Head Start in the First 3 Years by Dr. Jen Berman. And it covers everything from the importance of touch, sign language, responding, the importance of play, reading, eating, nutrition. And this morning we wanted to, and I like the way it's set up too. It's like each chapter covers a different full
topic.
Area.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That way parents don't have to read the book cover to cover. They can read what interests them the most. And what I really tried to do is, you know, I'm a voracious reader of parenting books. And what I tried to do is, it drives me crazy when I read a book and they give me a problem, but they don't give me a solution. So I really tried to make sure every time I presented a problem, I present at least 3 easy solutions that parents can do at home.
Mm-hmm. That's great. A lot of people asking me for my copy. I'm like, hands off.
Yeah. I love to go to BNN.com and Amazon and buy them.
And by the way, tell Amazon that they've got to make your book downloadable onto the iPad or Kindle.
You know what? It is downloadable on BNN.com. So if you have the Nook, you can actually get it. Although the book has a lot of illustrations, like it has illustrations of sign language and also baby massage techniques, and I don't know if those are on the Kindle or on the Nook or not. So
okay.
If anyone has it, they'll have to let me know.
Okay, cool. Okay. I was trying to download it for my girlfriend the other night because she wanted to read it again. But okay, let's get to this. A nutrition.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is like a really hard thing. I mean, I know that your book that you've got out now focuses on kind of the 0 to 3 age group. And I guess that's where it all starts. I know this topic is hot in my relationship now because my girlfriend, who has a daughter who just turned 6, we're going through the whole stage of she's not eating her lunch at school, and it's like mm-hmm. it's the first time she has had to eat food unsupervised because she's in grade 1, and you come home and like mm-hmm. only one thing's eaten out of the big lunch that's been packed.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how can maybe we start back at the beginning? How do you get your kids on the right track to being a healthy eater?
And wanting to eat the good things instead of just the junk all the time.
Well, you do a number of things. You know, first of all, the first few years are really significant in terms of what I call metabolic programming and food preferences. And I have a big section in Super Baby all about that. And what we know is that those first few years, kids' bodies, the nutrition they get those first 3 years, one researcher, Joel Furman, says that those first 3 years are even more important than like the next 50, because their cells are turning over so quickly, they're growing so fast, their bodies are changing. So creating a habit of eating healthy foods in the early years is crucial to kids liking those foods later on, because those create kids' food preferences, and also it helps them in terms of good health for many, many years to come.
Hmm.
One of the things that I really recommend is that parents look at what I call the division of labor. And that's a concept that was started by a woman named Ellen Satter. And she talks about how it is the parents' responsibility to decide when and what, but the child's responsibility to decide if and how much. So in other words, like, for example, with your girlfriend's 6-year-old, it's the parent's job to make sure that a nutritious lunch is packed, but it's up to her daughter to decide if she's going to eat it and how much. And you have to trust that children listen to their bodies. They're natural, intuitive eaters. So if she's really hungry, she's going to eat. You know, with a 6-year-old who is repeatedly not eating their lunch, it might be a good idea to sit down with her and say, hey, let's talk about what your favorite lunches are, so that sometimes kids want a little more power and control. So she might even let her daughter help make the lunch so they could do it together. The other thing when it comes to helping kids develop nutritious habits is parents are the role models. And if they see you eating healthy foods, they are going to eat healthy foods. And if you have a house full of, oh, well, mommy and daddy eat the chips and the ice cream, but you eat the broccoli, that's not going to happen. It's not going to go over well. Mm-hmm. Then that child is going to want that. You have to, there should be the same food for adults and for kids in the house, and then it becomes the norm. You know, my kids, we joke in our house that we have what's called the I Love Broccoli Club, and I'm the president, and my kids kind of fight over who's going to be vice president. And it's part of our family culture, and we started doing, because broccoli is one of the healthiest foods around, and I wanted my kids to be excited about broccoli, and I happen to really love broccoli.
I love this is awesome.
it seems like when, like, especially at dinner time, it comes to, so many parents have this issue from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole they have different tactics to try to get them to eat foods. Like, oh, well, like there's the guilt thing. Like, well, other people don't have any food in the world. Or,
sure, or the waste train.
It. Yeah.
Because it took a choo-choo open wide.
Yeah.
And all of that, what that does is that gives kids a cue. Great, mommy and daddy are really invested in me eating. I can create a fantastic power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
If I want attention, I can play it out in this arena. And what you want to do is take that off the table. And to hang back, it's very hard. Look, I'm a mom, you know, at the core. Of course, I want my kids to eat, and I want them to eat nutritious foods. But the more invested you are and the more energy you put into eat this, eat that, one more bite before you have to leave the table, the more they're going to struggle with you and the more they're going to make it a power play. Because, look, kids' jobs are to test you.
Yeah.
And this, you know, especially with young kids, they have to do that. But if you let go of that, if you say, okay, you don't want to eat it, that's fine, then you give them nothing to struggle against. I like eating family style. I think it's always a good idea, instead of putting all the food on your child's plate, in the center of the table have your protein, your carb, your vegetable, your fruit, all that sort of stuff, and let your kid decide and let go of the results. And what you have to trust is that over the long haul, your child will get the right foods, especially if you are sitting there eating them. One night they might only eat rice, but then the next night they might choose to be just eating fish. So you have to trust their bodies to regulate themselves. If you're offering healthy food, in the end they will get what they need.
Oh,
that's interesting. I haven't heard that before. So you're suggesting all the food goes in the middle, like potluck style, and they decide what they want to have from each dish.
See, if that was my daughter, all she would be pulling off of the plate is the fruit. Like, you know, so that's where I struggle with, oh, no, she's not getting any protein, or she's not. But you're saying that if she doesn't get any protein that night, her body may need it the next night. And that's
exactly.
Okay.
Because you're totally right.
Okay.
There's like that whole bargaining thing that goes on.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, you got to finish it all and don't waste it. And then it's like, I can't, I'm full. And then, okay, well, two more bites.
It's
like a bargaining.
The message we want to give our kids, if you want a child who's not going to become obese, who's not going to develop an eating disorder, is trust your body, listen to your body. If her body's craving fruit, well, then it must need. Maybe it needs those vitamins and minerals. Maybe that's what her body needs, and the next night she'll crave something different over the long haul. And, you know, ideally, from the beginning, kids get a wide variety of food, so they develop a taste for everything, and then they can really just go on what their body needs, as opposed to that they're intimidated by a certain food. And, you know, the study showed that children need, on average, and this is especially talking about young kids, as you're introducing foods into their diets, they need to be introduced to a food on average 15 times. The study showed most parents give up sometime between number 2 and number 5.
So you tell me it takes sometimes 15?
Yeah, they go, oh, Johnny doesn't like avocados. Well, we don't give him avocados. Well, no, Johnny is looking at avocados. They're unfamiliar, the texture. He may eat it. He may spit it out not because even he doesn't like it, but because he wants to see what happens. He wants to see what it looks like when he chews it. And what we know is just keep putting it on the table. Keep putting it on the plate. Keep making it available. Let them see you eating it if you want them to eat it.
So 15 times until a kid maybe decides whether they like it or not.
Yep, 15
Wow.
times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're also saying that there's a lot of things in food that we should really be avoiding in order to, you know, encourage our kids to have a long, healthy life. So what are a few of those things that we should be looking out for?
Well, you know, most parents don't realize, I mean, first of all, pesticides. You know, organic is so important, and you know, not everyone can afford to buy everything organic, but what we know is there's what's called the dirty dozen. The Environmental Working Group puts out a list every year, and they look at what the dirty dozen is, the foods that are highest in pesticides. Right now, those foods are celery, peaches, strawberries, apples, blueberries, nectarines, bell peppers, spinach, kale, cherries, potatoes, and grapes, but only imported. So if you can't afford to buy organic for everything, pick those 12 things and just get those organic. And then they also have what are called the clean 15. And those are the ones that they say you don't have to worry about buying organic so much because they don't seem to have as many pesticides in them. And those are onions, avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, mangoes, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwis, cabbage, eggplants, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, and honeydew.
Wow. Wow. Now, is that a list that's released every year? Or
it's a list that's released every year, and you can get on the Environmental Working Group site, EWG.org.
Can you write that down, man?
It's a fantastic site.
Absolutely. Sorry, EW...
G.org, right?
Yeah, and the Environmental Working Group also has a fantastic database called the Cosmetic Database, and it's cosmeticdatabase.com. And in Super Baby, I talk about a list of various different chemicals that you want to make sure are not in your children's products, whether it is diaper cream or soap or shampoo or anything like that. And you can go to cosmeticdatabase.com, and the Environmental Working Group has a spectacular list, and you just type in the name of the product you're thinking about buying, and it will tell you, it rates it on a scale from 0 to 9.
Oh, wow.
On how toxic it is.
You do that right in your iPhone while you're in the store.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredible service, and it will tell you the chemicals that are in it, and it will tell you what the concern is, if something is a hormone disruptor, if it's been linked to cancer, anything like that. And what most parents don't know is, because we tend to be a trusting society, we tend to think, oh, well, the government's got our back. But what we don't realize is that a lot of the things we're putting on our children and on ourselves have chemicals that are very harmful, and it's so much more important even for our kids, whose bodies are changing so quickly. The ratio of their body to the things that they're ingesting is so much greater than an adult whose body also is better at fending off chemicals and digesting and all that sort of stuff. So it's really important, and if you've already bought a bunch of stuff and you think to yourself, oh, I can't afford to throw it out, I can't deal with this, instead just look things up as you go to replace it. Last night I actually was buying toothpaste for my kids online, so I looked up toothpaste to see what might be a better option for my kids than what I was buying, and found a new toothpaste that I decided to get.
Wow.
So it's great not just for kids but also for adults.
Yeah, we've got to educate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Especially here on the West Coast, that is becoming so huge now, where people are, becoming more aware.
As people become more aware, people everywhere are turning more to the EWG site.
Wow. You're great.
Yeah,
I just love talking to you. You're just so smart.
Thank you.
I'll just come over and hang out and have coffee with you.
I would love to.
DrJen.com is the website for a ton of great info. And, of course, the book that now we've talked about 1,000 times on the show, Super Baby, 12 Ways to Give Your Child a Head Start in the First 3 Years. And obviously some great info that's going to help you beyond 3 years, clearly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And by the way, my website is spelled out. Otherwise, you'll see some lady's holiday vacation pictures. It's DOCTORJENN.com.
Okay, the full word doctor, DrJen.com.
Yes.
And you've got a new book coming out in May that's for 1 to 2-year-olds.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, I have my first children's book coming out in May. It's called Rockin' Babies, and it's an edgy board book. I wrote with my mom, Cynthia Weil, who's a Grammy Award-winning songwriter. We actually wrote it while feeding my daughters, who the first year they had severe reflux and colic, so it could take an hour to 3 hours to get like an ounce of milk in them.
Aww.
And so, you know, it just over time we wrote it, and we would get kind of slap happy as we were feeding them because it took so long. But it was an amazing experience, and we just started joking about how my kids are kind of the rock stars of our family, and how all kids are the center of their family. And we just started joking about it, and it just kind of grew and grew, and we started writing things down. And, you know, it's like plays on words, like Rockin' Babies Party in Their Cribs, and they're illustrations of kids in their cribs. It's a really fun, edgy board book. It's different than anything I've ever seen.
Well, listen, when the world's parenting expert writes a baby book, you're buying it, okay?
Yeah.
There's no, I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I'm not sure.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, great talking to you, Dr. Jen.
You too. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And everyone, please check her Twitter accounts. We'll tweet the book and her website and all that good stuff. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Mm-hmm. I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank Dr.
You.
Jen Berman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is great. She's really good.
Absolutely.
And fun, too.
And try and read this book before your kid hits the age past 3, because then you're just shaking your head going,
Jasmina,
what have I done?
Jasmina is going to go home and sit in the corner and cry for a few hours.
I still have one more chance. My youngest one is 8 months. So.
All right.
There
get
you
on
go.
It. Get on it, baby. All right. We may, if you want to hear that interview again, what we might do is re-air that first thing tomorrow morning. Maybe like just after 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a friend who, you know, wants to maybe hear that. Or a mom that you know is doing the wrong thing, but you don't want to tell her what to do. You're just going to go, hey, you should hear this great interview tomorrow morning. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll re-air an edited version of that tomorrow morning for you, because she's just so full of, you know, great info.
Brilliant. Dropping some knowledge bombs.
Dropping some knowledge bombs on us. There we go. We'll take two knowledge bombs, please. All right, have a great day today. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
Bye.